Top Med Talk.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's Top Med Talk and we are here at Euroanesthesia 2024. It's the annual Congress of the European Society of Anesthesiology and Intensive Care here in Munich, Germany. Now I'm Desiree Chapel, your host today at Top Med Talk. We do want to give a huge thank you to IZEAC for supporting Top Med Talk to be here this year in the exhibit hall. It has been a phenomenal meeting. The scientific program has been absolutely fantastic. Here in the exhibit hall, tons of delegates here interacting with all the different companies in this innovation village has been absolutely fantastic. Lots of great content coming from there. Again, we cannot do this without the support of our partners like IZEAC and all of our sponsoring partners, GE Healthcare, Edwards Life Sciences, Medtronic. They keep Top Med Talk free and open access to the entire world, to the globe. So thank you very much. So today I'd love to introduce our next guest. It's a privilege and an honor to be talking to Eduardo de Robotis, who is an immediate past president of IZEAC. Eduardo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I'm a professor at the University of Perugia in Italy, where I am chairing the chair of the Department of Anesthesia and Intensive Care. It's a huge hospital, and we have a lot of patients, a lot of cases, and a very nice intensive care unit.
Yeah, and what are some of your research interests?
I consider myself a little bit more an intensivist, because I'm always researched and worked in intensive care, and my topics are mainly related with mechanical ventilation.
Okay, very nice. And you are just finished, or you have just finished up your presidency?
I'm finishing. Yeah, it was a great, great pleasure and honor for me to be president of this wonderful society.
What were some of the things that you're most proud of during your tenure as president?
Well, I have the complexity, the burden to take the society in the moment when we were coming out from the pandemic. It was very, very depressing moment in terms that we lost our ability to networking, that for a society is, I think, main
crucial.
Yes. So we had to recover and start to work again face to face and bring the energy back. And I'm proud that I hope that I have succeeded, because I mean the numbers are fantastic, and we have seen over the last 2-3 years an increasing interest in bringing together knowledge and exchange ideas, and so the numbers have been increased. So we have done a lot of work, and we have also started to move in a different direction, in the sense that we really felt the necessity to approach the new challenges that we have, all of us have, as a human being and as professionals. And this is the sustainability. That's why we really felt the necessity to start this project. And it was wonderful journey. I would say that we have just started this.
Yeah.
And there are wonderful, committed people. And Patricia is leading, brilliantly leading the Commission on Sustainability. And yeah, succeeded to really to offer all, to all of us a wonderful job that has already given us fruits.
Yes.
So we are now, we have made the first step and now we can run.
Perfect segue and introduction to our next guest, Patricio Gonzalez. Patricio, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and thanks, Eduardo, for your kind words. Well, I'm a pediatric anesthesiologist myself. I'm working in La Paz Children's Hospital in Madrid, Spain. I also chair now the Sustainability Committee at IZEAC.
Yes. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the Sustainability Committee? Is it fairly new, or has it been around for a little while but just taken a different direction? Tell us more.
No, it started, I would say, at least 6-7 years ago. It was Pierre Badalejo from the French Society of Anesthesia and also from SAIC. We started it together with Stefan de Hert. And then we had some other pastors like Luca Brazzi, and now it's my turn. So it's been a while since, and actually I happened to be here because I was in the Congress in Vienna. Euroanesthesia some years ago, I saw there was a sustainability in anesthesia. What's that about? It sounded so weird to me. I went there and it was mind-blowing. It's like, really? I found so many interesting things. I felt really appealed by the topic. And since then, I've been connecting to psych and learning so many things, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah, that is one thing I've taken away from the society and the work that you've done at the previous meetings. There really has been a focus on sustainability. You can see that where, you know, within the exhibit hall, the plenaries, I think there was an opening plenary session on sustainability, or there have been several. Let's talk about when we say sustainability in anesthesia and critical care, how would you define that? What are we talking about in our space?
Well, it's a great question, right? But sustainability is a word that we listen every single day. It's still even annoying, sustainability again, right? It can be felt like that.
Yeah.
And that's important because it's getting repeated so often that we need to create a common standard of words. Or what are we talking about? To us, clinicians, anesthesiologists, sustainability has two main subtopics we need to think about. One is adaptation to climate change. So how is the climate changing, going to and affecting us right now? What new diseases should we be prepared to face, like in intensive care? Should we invest in more time to learn on heat strokes, on new zoonoses, on new or more patients coming from pulmonary complications? So we need to invest our time in probably on malaria, for instance, so that we are not used to dealing with malaria. And perhaps in Europe, we might start facing this kind of diseases that we are not properly trained. And so those are things that we need to think about also, from food on water distortions that we are not facing right now and we might be seeing in the upcoming years. So that's one thing, is that adaptation to climate change and how is that going to
affect the environment around us that we work within.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is mitigation. Mitigation means that what we can do right now from our single point of view, at the operating theater every day, at the ICU every day, at the pain clinic every day, what we can do to diminish that impact on our environment.
And everything that we use and have our hands on and that we use within the clinical space, how does that impact the environment around us? And,
exactly.
And how can we actually, like you said,
exactly.
But change
going,
practice?
Going back to your initial question, then our committee has another vision on sustainability. It's not just the environment. We also believe that sustainability affects how we work and how we feel. That means professional sustainability. So we actually, in our committee, we have two major goals. One is environment, and that's the most important for us, but also professional sustainability. We are very concerned about how this, especially after the pandemic, how burnout, how fatigue is affecting us. So we are working on that.
Yeah, I think that how we have conceptually approached sustainability is more in a broader and comprehensive view. So as Patricia pointed out, it's not only the mitigation of the impact of what we do daily as a professional, it's something more, it's much more, and should also be viewed under what we can call the One Health approach, because, I mean, we are living in an environment that in which now we cannot anymore separate. Everything is linked.
Yes.
It's connected.
Yes.
I don't know if it's good or not. it's the reality that now everything is connected. So we cannot, I mean, diseases that have been not known to us.
Yes.
They will be our next challenge. And so we cannot deny, we cannot look at that. And so this is the broader view of sustainability that we want to, first of all, we want to bring awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment, I think that not all anesthesiologists are aware of all these aspects.
You don't know what your own impact
is. So we have to change mind.
Yes.
This is the most complex aspects. Mm-hmm. And so the roadmap we have for plan we have foreseen is just to start with with the Glasgow Declaration. It was just a moment to start with, but then step by step recommendations, because we need to bring to our colleagues some tools, something to do in mitigation aspects of our profession, and then they are working on wonderful educational aspects and so on, packages, because we need to bring education. We have to change mind and we have to think differently. The mindset should be changed.
Yeah.
And I think this is the role of the society, of an international societies as the
Yeah. Well, I mean, Patricia, just as you said, it wasn't until you went to a lecture about sustainability that you had that aha moment and you felt compelled to actually probably change your own practice and then start helping to spread the word. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Was in a Congress exactly like this one. And you can also feel that when you have these sustainability lectures that right now they are packed. There are people sitting on the floors, there are people standing. It's raising awareness, which what Eduardo just said is our main goal from the sustainability committee, to keep raising awareness. But you can see that we are succeeding after these so many years from previous colleagues doing this work before. We are succeeding in raising awareness. Still a lot of work to do, but we are getting there slightly, but we are getting there. And then you can meet people that they would say, oh, listen to you, or I listen to other talks that were held in Glasgow, or they were held in Milano, and since then I've been working this and that, and now I'm leading in my own hospital, I'm leading a transformation. So I say, congratulations, and we need to hear about you, because we need to all connect these success stories. So ESAIC is a wonderful platform to do networking, to connect passionate individuals that probably are isolated in their own institution, that when you come to this kind of meetings, you meet so many people that are like you, that share passions, and this is a perfect, and not just to learn, but to connect people.
Yes.
So it's one of the unique, one of the beauties of these congresses, your anesthesia, is to connect and meet people that share your same passions, and then you can actually feel the impact that we might have, right?
So what is ESAIC doing to really promote sustainability outside of their meeting?
What is amazing is that concept of sustainability is so interesting for all. I mean, our partners were really happy when we started this project, because everywhere in the world, I mean, all industries, they are dealing with these aspects. And so for them, it's also very important to have the backup of a scientific society that can give some advice. And sustainability is also in the political programs. Mm-hmm. In Europe, they are very much, it's much a sensitive. So it was the moment. We really feel that everybody, as Patricia pointed out, is very eager to have news, to have data, to receive advice on how to better behave. Great. And I'm very happy also of the situation we are living in these days here in Munich, because the Congress is, it's a wonderful moment to exchange these ideas. And I have to correct to you, because you are a little bit more than 5,000. If you consider all the partners, the industries that are around us now, we are much more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And going back to initial question, we probably, the listeners don't know, but last year in Glasgow we announced the Glasgow Declaration on Sustainability. It's really important, because it's the second time in ESAIC history that there's a institutional declaration. The first one is very well known, is by everybody, the Helsinki Declaration on Patient Safety. And this is the second one many years afterwards. And this is the backbone of the sustainability vision of our society. Stemming from this declaration will come, have already come, different documents, like the consensus document on perioperative sustainability, which comes with the very, very down-to-earth concrete recommendations that we can do every single day at our work. And of course, we cannot achieve all of them. They are more than 90.
It's aspirational.
Right. So yes, I encourage all listeners to go to our website, download free the document, and see which of these 90 recommendations they apply to them. Maybe just 4 or 5, but if you can apply 4 or 5 every day, then you're making maybe big change.
Yeah, and the great news is you probably are doing some of those.
Absolutely.
And let's look at some other things that we can integrate that are probably, as we say in the U.S., I don't know if this translates, low-hanging fruit.
Excellent.
That's easy to pick, you know, that it's like, let's pick a couple of those. And then you do those and you start to feel the momentum of, like, we can do this, and that we can build more sustainability into our practice, my practice. I think that's absolutely fantastic. So it's ESAIC.org is the website. So if you want more information, I'm sure that it is, well, I know that it is. I've looked at it myself. It's there that you can find all this information. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, while we're here, let's talk a little bit about what's happening at the meeting and some of the focus that is going towards sustainability. In the exhibit hall, you know, we've talked a lot about how do we keep exhibit hall sustainable. And I know that's something that you're all working on. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
I mean, apart from the scientific program, for some symposium, some
Yeah, great lectures and conversations.
Was focalized on sustainability. We have this year the Innovation Village.
Yeah.
Near our boot.
Yeah, love it. We can see it right here, yeah.
Yeah. In which, I mean, the words were sustainability, connectivity, and neurosciences. And in those space, I mean, there have been amazing discussion over these years and these days, sorry. And it was always full. I mean, so this also is a perception about how interesting is the topic. So it's a continuous exchange of experience, of knowledge. And this is the beauty to be together here.
Yeah, it's packed. We see it. We see it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong, some of the staging, some of the things that you see there and then those are reusable. I feel like we've seen those in the past.
That was our policy since several, because we have our boots, for instance, the Zeit boot is in wood.
Yeah.
And we developed that in Milano. It was my first Congress.
I remember.
And so we are reusing it every year. We store it and it's a wonderful message.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Huh?
Yeah, it is. It is actually. It's wonderful. It is very nice and it's very recognizable. And you can see that this is a true effort towards what the society is doing. So that's absolutely fantastic. Anything else that you wanted to mention that's happening that we didn't talk about today about sustainability?
Well, we doubled the number of lectures on sustainability along the years. And they were actually one of the challenges of this committee is that it's transversal. We need to work through very, very many other committees within the scientific committee and on others. And for instance, patient safety was doing a pro-con on patient safety and sustainability was absolutely packed.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Exceeded our expectations. And we also had the pharmacology subcommittee organize a lecture about also sustainability, and we could contribute with some panelists, but it was them. So it's great to see that other colleagues from other subforums are actually interested in organizing their lectures on sustainability. And going to patient safety was really fun. It was the chair of the patient safety committee was doing one side, and then one of the members of our committee was doing the other side, and there was interesting discussion there. Yeah, it was really fun to see and the passions. You felt there was some passion over there, and it was really fun. I encourage you to see them if you can offline.
Yeah, it's one of the lectures that was recorded.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great. To be able to really infuse sustainability in all that you do, and I think that's great that it's like every committee that you have, it's like how are we ensuring that this committee is always having this and thinking about how they do what they do in a sustainable way. That's great as well. I mean, that's really important.
I want just to add something to what Patricia was saying. I mean, our work is transversal in a sense that for us, sustainability, it's very important. But as a scientific society in anesthesiology and intensive care, our main aim is to offer high quality care and patient safety. And what I have to say is that it's possible to offer high quality care and safety in a sustainable way. So the efforts of the society is to stress the concept of sustainability and to work on all the measures that can be taken to offer high quality care in a sustainable way. That's why, I mean, the work is a transversal work.
Yeah.
And this is important. This is the most important message that we cannot speak in terms of sustainability and reduce the quality of care. No, we have
to
offer high quality of care in a sustainable way.
And in fact, if you think about it, it improves the quality of care. It's not just sustaining the care itself, but when you start doing these things and using different types of products or thinking about the environment, it's better for everybody. So it actually improves everything that we're delivering.
Absolutely. I couldn't stress more than what Eduardo just said. Patient safety, which is paramount for us. I couldn't say that louder. It's paramount for us. It's not competing, or sustainability is not a competing agenda with patient safety. On the contrary, they work and as a synergic point of view, and you can be sustainable, and then by being sustainable, you are probably enhancing most of the time patient safety. So we need to change the paradigm that there's a conflict of interest. On the contrary, it goes towards the patient and then also towards our planet.
I love it. Synergy. That's what it is.
Patients needs safety and needs to live in a good world.
Well, gentlemen, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you for all you do and committing, because we know that everything, it's extra and we all have to do our day jobs, right? So everything that you're doing here for the Committee on Sustainability and your leadership within the organization is fantastic.
Thank you to you.
Yeah, cheers to you both.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
And thanks so much for listening to Top Med Talk. You know you can find us at topmedtalk.com. We're on your favorite social media platform. We are on your favorite podcatcher. We're also on YouTube. If you've caught this through YouTube, please give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Every little bit helps to keep Top Med Talk free and open access so everyone around the world can hear these wonderful conversations just like the one today. So,
thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Cheers.
Top Med Talk.
Thanks for downloading Top Med Talk. Don't forget to subscribe. Check us out on YouTube. And of course, on social media, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and X. Also, it's important to remember that TopMed Talk is the broadcasting arm of EPOM, evidence-based perioperative medicine. We'd love you to find out more about that, and the way to do that is epom.org. Check out our website and find out about some of the incredible conferences we're going to be arranging across the year. epom.org.